Well, welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, for the last couple of weeks, we've enjoyed watching the Olympics and watching the different news stories from Beijing and hearing about the Chinese culture. Probably for the first time, many people are getting an inside look at a country that, at least from an American perspective, we really don't know that much about. And back several months ago, we did a program where we stated that some would see that China might be the next economic superpower. And that has some people nervous, and it has other people really energized about what that could mean.
Well, it's an interesting thing to be watching on a macro level, and it affects all of us. In fact, the big difference is when the economic superpower status shifted from the United Kingdom to the U.S., we shared a common language and somewhat of a common worldview. But as it shifts to the Chinese, we don't have a common language, except for those who speak English, and we don't have a common worldview. And so it's going to be, there are going to be much more implications to that. But a very interesting article just appeared in the Wall Street Journal. They interviewed Peter Zhao, who's a member of the Communist Party, and he's considered an intellectual and a student of economics that has a dissenting voice on what's going to lead China into their status as an economic superpower. And he's advocating that it will be Christianity. And, of course, his observations are so interesting. He said the strong U.S. economy is just the surface of what makes it work. He said the real backbone is the moral foundation, the unifying common values and trust that people have in one another. That's what makes it work. And he said corruption, you know, will kill their economy, and he's very, very concerned about it. And listen to this. He says that from ancient time till now, everybody wants to make money. But from history, we see only Christians have a continuous, nonstop creative spirit and the spirit for innovation. He said that he traveled to the U.S. and studied this himself. And in 2000, he said, I was standing in Harvard Square, and where I stood, I looked around, and I could see churches in three different directions. And he said that impressed him was the major difference between our economy and anybody else's in the world. And in fact, he says he became a Christian as a result of these studies of what makes this economy so great.
Well, that is a very inspiring story. Now, today we're actually going to take a look at the flip side. What happens when the wheels come off?
You know, Dave, in many cases when the wheels come off, you see people contemplating suicide. And I think it's time that we really talk about that topic today.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we're going to talk about something that none of us likes to imagine happening, but it happens all the time. And in this economy, it happens even more often. That's when the financial wheels come off and we've lost our job, we've lost our source of income. And from a guy's perspective especially, that's a very devastating set of circumstances.
Well, statistics show that suicide rates increase when there's economic uncertainty, Dave. And we're moving into a period of economic uncertainty. And I think it's something as believers we just need to talk about the implications of that, because the last thing we want to do is stand by and watch the enemy get a foothold, especially in men's life where incidence of suicide is so high when they go through economic failure particularly. Have you ever known anybody that committed suicide, Dave?
You know, interestingly, Chuck, less than a month ago, I got a phone call from a friend who had heard news that someone that we had both gone to church with had committed suicide. And, of course, that's always a shock, especially when the individual's been an active part of leadership in a church and had been what appeared to be a very stable individual. But it was all tied back to financial pain.
Wow. That's interesting, Dave, because I've had six acquaintances, and they're not all friends, but people I knew well enough to know their story who committed suicide, actually completed the act to finality. I've had two that have attempted suicide that were not successful. Mm. So that seems like a lot to me. And as I analyze those that either attempted it or actually completed suicide, about 90% of them had to do with their financial condition. Mm. And so that's always just so distressing to me. And I hate to find out about it without ever having had an opportunity to try to help. Mm-hmm. But I got an email just this past couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, it came on came in August into my personal box. And I don't mind people having my own box. It's chuckbentley@crown.org. And if people want to write me, they should write me. And let's talk and try to get you some help. But I don't know how this person got my email. I'd never heard of them. But they wrote me from an Asian country. And it came in the middle of the night because our time is opposite of their time. But he said very frankly, gave his name. He said, I need some advice. I feel very trapped in my finances. I've lost everything in the stock market. I feel devastated. And each time I try to recoup my loss, I end up losing even more. And I don't know what to do. And I'm thinking of ending my life. I'm lost. What can I do? And I remember waking up getting this email, Dave, and thinking, thank you, Lord, that this person, A, ask for help, and B, that I got the privilege of getting that email. I had no idea who this person was. It didn't even ask. I had no way of knowing. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I sat down on my computer immediately, whipped out my Bible, and started talking to this person. And I was about 3 hours difference from the time that I received it at night and when I started answering it. And I was just praying. I pray I get an answer. I pray that whoever's on the other end of this email writes me back. And I was so pleased that they did. They wrote me back a very, very nice email. And I basically said, I want to talk to you about what's going on because I've seen this far too often. And it's a term that I call financially assisted suicide. In other words, the driving force behind where the enemy is working is rooted in their finances. And so what I did, Dave, is I unpacked it. And I want to unpack that for our listeners on the issues that I think drive particularly men to that point of despair and why they get there and possibly what we can do as a body to recognize it and to help people with it. You know, the sad part for me is some of those that have happened around me, I really didn't know. There were not warning signs. There were some things I looked back and thought I should have been able to see, but I just didn't see them. And so I started paying a lot more attention to it. And I think it might be helpful to go through some of the statistics so that we know what groups are at high risk, particularly during an economic downturn. In the United States, males are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than females. It's actually true that females attempt suicide more often, but they're not successful nearly as often because men tend to be much more violent. Of those that I have known that have attempted suicide, it's been really bad, or who have either attempted or committed suicide, has been really violent. And there was almost no uncertainty to what they did. I mean, it was going to work. You know, they just did some typically used guns or their vehicle to kill themselves. Also, suicide rates in the United States are higher among white males than they are any other race. Suicide rates are lower among Hispanics and blacks and Asians, far more than among white males. And the age makes a difference. Suicide spikes up from age 20 on, and peaks out pretty high in the 40 to 50 range, and actually is very high in the age range over 75, of a white male over 75. Some of the factors that lead to suicide are retirement, unemployment, financial condition, and then whether you're divorced or childless, empty nesters, basically people who feel isolated and alone, that there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these are the candidates, white males, middle-aged and beyond, who are under the most amount of pressure. Now, Dave, this problem isn't just limited to white males in the U.S. In fact, there's an alarming epidemic of suicide among males in India right now. In the last 10 years, 160,000 men have committed suicide in India alone. Most of them are in their 40s, they're farmers, and they're killing themselves because of debt. There's been a drought in their country. Their crops are failing. They've got outstanding loans on their crops. They've got a family to feed, and they haven't been able to do it, and they're killing themselves. I think it's an average of 16 per day right now. Mm. But it's just alarming. Dave, that's approaching the levels of people who were killed in the tsunami. Mm. So it's a huge, huge problem, and one that they're really trying to figure out how to get to the bottom of. But I believe those deaths in India are financially assisted suicides. And there's a way to stop the enemy from getting a hold of a man's life if they understand the truth, and the truth will set them free. So I want to talk about how did I respond to the man in the Asian country who wrote me, and what God can do to equip you to help other people who might be going down that path.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, we're talking about financially assisted suicide, and that's quite a provocative term.
Well, it's a heavy topic, Dave, but one I felt like we needed to step into, as I didn't know even when we started the program, that you've been touched by a suicide just within the last month of a Christian that you knew that, it turns out, was behind all of it, was a financial problem, financial stress. Yeah. And then I got this email that came in from a listener, or, well, we don't really know why it came in, but for someone in Asia on the other side of the world. And then this problem going on in India, 48 a day, 17,500 suicides per year. And they're sure that it's all because that these are farmers whose crops are failing. They cannot pay their debts. And there's a lot of other factors that people look at. And I'm not trying to lay it off on finances. But, Dave, here's something that we need to understand, that when the Lord said you cannot serve both God and money, that word in the original language was mammon. And mammon is used as a term to define an evil, small god, an evil spirit. Hmm. In other words, mammon, there's a spiritual dimension to mammon that we often totally underestimate. In that reference, he's saying that there's something that gets a hold of you. In the parable of the sower, when the Lord talks about the seeds that were sown, one of the results was that the deception of money came in and choked out the seed. It choked it. In other words, it killed the seed because there was some deception of money involved in that. And the worries of life and the deception of finances is what sometimes we underestimate the power of that. And so when I see a man moving down a path where his finances are being destroyed, I attach immediately a direct correlation to a spiritual battle for his soul. Because the enemy will use finances to begin to completely try to destroy the inner being of that man. And so that's why I call it financially assisted suicide. The enemy cannot kill a believer, but he can take a tool or any stronghold or foothold and get the believer to do it to themselves. So he's using finances to start to lie to the person that is going through a hard time. So here's what happens. When you are going through a hard time, you begin to start to think about your identity. And the enemy says, you know, because you thought you were something, now you're going to be nothing. And let's just fill in the blank. If you had $1 million, or say $1 million in assets, what do we typically ascribe to ourselves as an identity?
Well, you're a millionaire.
Right. Yeah, it's not just that you have the possessions, you now have the
status.
The identity.
Sure.
I am a millionaire. Now, that's the problem. Because when we don't recognize that God owns everything, then we take possessions and define ourselves by them. And that's the very challenge, the root that Jesus got to with the rich young ruler. See, when he told the rich young ruler to go sell everything and give your possessions away, he was saying to get rid of that identity and then come follow me. It wasn't that he had to give everything away to be righteous. He had to change his identity. He had to say, I'm going to be known as a follower of Christ, not as who I am in the world. And that's why he went away sad. That's how powerful the grip is that a man has an identity in the world, and the enemy wants you to have that identity. If you'll notice, you ask a person to introduce themselves at a party or say, mm-hmm. Hey, Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What are they going to say?
Yeah, well, typically I would respond with what I do. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, where I work or the kind of job that I'm in or the field of business that I work in.
Right. Very seldom are we going to stand up and define ourselves by our qualities,
sure.
our characteristics, our values, you know, things we strongly believe. We stand up and give the external definitions. And that's why when a man goes through an economic crisis, he's in real crisis. Mm-hmm. Someone once told me, Chuck, you don't have to wait for the economy to be bad. Anytime a man, particularly a man, loses his job, he's going to go into crisis because his identity is threatened. And that's how strong Satan uses that power over a man, that your identity is going to be stripped from you because we haven't yet crossed over to place our identity in the only place it is secure. And that is that we're a child of God and that he's not going to leave us or forsake us. Everything else could go away in our lives, every form of identity. And I think that's why so often when men are going through this, those around them need to understand that it's a private battle that he will very, very seldom open up with and tell somebody just how bad he's hurting. Because it's who you're talking to inside. It's a spiritual battle inside for the enemy to say, you are nobody. You are nothing.
Chuck, you know, on the surface, it sounds like this might be something easy to spot, but are there telltale signs or things that we should be watching for someone who's heading in this direction?
Well, Dave, experts say that some of the telltale signs that, and many times you have to be careful how you read these, but if someone starts giving away their prized possessions, they start showing absolutely no interest in things they had once held dear to them. If they have an abrupt change or extreme change in their eating habits or sleeping habits, especially sleeping habits, a loss of interest in activities that they used to enjoy or normally enjoyed, you hear a lot of negative comments, self-deprecating talk, talk about attempting suicide, sometimes just want to enter into the dialogue, extreme lack of concern for their personal safety, an interest in suicide, and a preoccupation with death or other tragedies.
Hmm. And Chuck, if we were to see any of those in a friend or a coworker, what are some steps that we can take to begin to stop that pattern from continuing?
You know, Dave, when we come back, I want to talk about some very specific spiritual applications to what we need to be prepared to say and do. But the number one way to help somebody in that case is to step into their life and to be available. You know, the more isolated and the more detached they feel, the more likely they are the enemy to get a foothold. So step into their life, invite them into a place where they have belonging and a sense of community.
Well, we'll continue this discussion when we come back from this quick break. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Well, welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, before the break, you mentioned that one of the most important things that we can do is to not allow those in our network to become isolated, especially if we see signs of that kind of behavior that would lead us to believe that they may be considering suicide.
Well, it's very interesting, Dave, because the rate of suicide is higher on Mondays and the lowest on Saturdays. Hmm. So I think one of the correlations there is that on days when there's activities and people to be with, and the day maybe when everybody else is going to work and you're not, is the day it seems so painful. Hmm. Also interesting is that suicide rates plummeted in all nations during World War I and World War II. When people were active and fighting a common cause and a part of something, our self-absorption in some kind, you know, it seems to go down. But when someone is faced with a situation and you think they may be, here's a couple of real practical things I think you can do. Number one, as we said earlier, be willing to step into their lives and try to get them into community. Get them involved in the local church. Get them involved in activities which will encourage them. And then secondly, identify with them in a way that lets them know that you're full of grace and willing to help in their crisis, to where they might want to trust you to talk to you. You know, it's when people believe that nobody else understands and there's really nobody to talk to that it's exasperated. And I kind of internally say, if I ever sense it, I want them to know that I'm full of God's grace and I'll hear their problem because I do want to help. And thirdly, don't try to solve this problem with more money. It's so tempting to think, because they're crushed by financial circumstances, that more money is going to solve the problem. That's why I've started to see it as a spiritual problem. It's a deep-seated vacuum where they need to know Jesus Christ. And with this man in Asia who wrote, I had no idea where he was coming from with in his faith walk. But the first thing I did was to say that I'm so sorry that you're in that situation. I care about you, and I'd be willing to walk through that with you if you will talk to me about it. And here are some of the things I'd like to ask you. Who are you? What is your identity? What got you to this point? And started that dialogue. And in his response, he started answering them. And the first thing he said was, thank you for caring. I'm so glad I'm not alone. And I said, I'm so glad to be available so that you know you're not alone, because Jesus Christ wants to pull you out of that. Even if your finances never recover, Jesus Christ wants you to have a new identity. And we've been dialoguing ever since, and I put him in touch with a Christian brother I knew in his country, and they're now meeting on a regular basis.
That's a great story, and make sure you keep us updated on his progress.
I will, Dave. Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. If you missed a portion of the program today, you can always hear it again online at crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for being with us for this edition of Money Life.